And help the poor. And I can tell you by the newsletters that we get monthly, that's exactly what they're doing. So, Steve and Brenda Hines.
Thank you, Judy. Can you see me? I'm a short guy. So, we appreciate their support and some others, but their particular support in the number of years that we've been at the children's home in India, working in an orphanage. At one point, they were cooking in the orphanage with sticks because they were so poor when we first got there that they were just using sticks to cook for like 60 children. That's a lot of sticks. And they had just completely blackened one of the rooms that they were cooking in because all of that smoke from the sticks. And I was thinking, Brenda and I were thinking, these guys do natural gas business here in America. Propane. and we need propane. We needed propane there. Of course, they're not going to ship propane over. We can buy propane, but we needed money. So we said, maybe you'd like to help us do this, and it's going to cost such and such to cook with natural or with propane instead of sticks. And they said, we'll do it. And so the entire time we've lived there, they've provided the gas so that the children have food cooked for them instead of with sticks in this room. So that's just one way that people have helped, and we thank the Kinneys for being so generous and taking care of needs. So, well, I was going to ask one of the little girls, Sharon, your granddaughter, but she took off. Do we have any other younger ones in here that are still? I wanted a helper. Anybody? Somebody's pointing over there, but I don't see any small person. Is there a small person down there somewhere? One of the things we do is I was going to have them carry this on their head, but what's that? Pointing at somebody. He's like, I'm not small. What are you talking about? they're all pointing to each other here. Okay. All right. This guy is definitely being invited up here. So come on up here. What's your name, sir?
Nathan.
Nice to meet you. So you get to see in front of all these people whether you can do this. It's really not very easy. Put this little donut on your head. There's a little bit of water in water bottles in here, but not very much. Normally, this would be filled up. This is how you carry water from the wells to your homes. And usually, it's girls, but all the girls are gone, so sorry. I have to. Now, my recommendation to you, you do it yourself, is push down hard and then allow your skin to kind of move around on your head because it's going to kind of wiggle. Oh, my, he's pretty good. Okay, let's see if he can walk. Come on, walk this way. You got a long ways to go. They don't need their hands. They don't need to. They got other things to carry. All right. He's getting the hang of it. All right, let's give him a hand. He made it a fight. Thank you. Good job. So, by the way you stay in communication with us is through email. As she said, you get these newsletters that we send out once a month, and put your name, telephone, and email. Here, we'll start way over here with the musician. Thank you. If you don't have email, then just put your regular mailing. But that's how we can communicate with you what's going on. Did you know that we were actually here 4 years ago? Some of you are going, really? So I guess I didn't do a very good job 4 years ago. And maybe you didn't do a very good job listening. I don't know. I'm not sure whose blame we should put it on. But one way or the other, today, I hope you sign up. And I hope you read the monthly newsletters and pray for our ministry. Because with your prayer, we can be successful. God blesses when we all gather together. And that is a way to glorify him. We were just trying to glorify him in our songs and in our prayer as he led us in prayer, focusing on our God. Our God is awesome. And I'm here to tell you about, and just to remind you from the Word of God, as we were listening to the scripture being read in Romans, it was talking about how can they know, how can they believe, unless they hear, unless someone sends them, unless someone goes. That's just logic. In India, 98% of the people do not know Jesus. 98%. It's a very populated country, 1.25 billion. So over 1 billion people there do not know the God that we are worshiping this morning. They are unaware. They are ignorant of him. Nobody has told them. It's not that they haven't had a chance to hear and they've rejected him, as many Americans have heard about him and have said, no, there's no God. No, I'm going to go ahead and live this way, the way I want to live, irregardless of his commands. No, it's not that way. They have never heard. They have never been given a chance in India. The vast majority of people have never had someone come to them. So in our ministries, one of the things we've been doing, besides having an orphanage that we care for children, we'll tell you about that, having water wells, we've now helped provide water for 46,250 people, praise the Lord, so that they have clean water and have better hygiene and health, as well as receiving the love of Jesus that comes when something kind and good comes from the Christians, and they're the Hindus are like, why? Who is this God that you serve? Many people have come to church and have come to Christ because of hearing about him through someone who helped them with getting clean water for their families. But besides that, we have also invested in helping other Indians stop what their work in the fields or whatever and give themselves full time to going and evangelizing and sharing the good news. And we currently are supporting 70 pastors through this ministry. And that's just people like you. As we share about it, somebody says, hey, I want to support a pastor, or I want to help get the word out so that people can hear the good news. When we first went to India, we just got off the plane and came to this orphanage where we had previously in 1985, I had first met this family. In 1989, my wife and I were there in this orphanage. And so we started just working with the children and helping the children, and that's great. But the Lord kept showing us more ways where we could get the good news to the lost and also to help the poor. So I want to help you look through a piece of scripture in 2 Kings. So we've already read Romans 10, 12 through 15, but I'd like you to look in 2 Kings chapter 22, and we're going to go back to a time when the Word of God had been lost. And it reminds me of what's happened a little bit in India. It's not that it's been lost there. It's never even been known there in India. But it's a similar situation. Because they do not know about God, they do not know how to follow him. When they do not know about him, they do things that are against God's will. They go off in their own way. And it's mostly out of ignorance because nobody's ever told them. So this time period in Israel's history, in 2 Kings chapter 22, is a time where they had just gone through a long period where people were not following God because they didn't even know about God. They did not know his law because they had lost it. It sounds impossible. But it's what happens when people slowly, year by year, ignore him, forget about him, stop reading his word, and then it just kind of gets pushed away, and then it gets covered with other things. And then, where is it? So, Josiah, verse 1 in chapter 22, 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was blah, blah, blah. He did, verse 2, he did what was right. That's good. So, as a general thing, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways his father of his father David, not turning aside to the right and to the left. Generally, in 1 and 2 Kings, you get a general report about each king. He did really good, or he did really bad. You hear that in almost every cycle. This particular king did good in general. But then it goes more into detail about what happened in his life. Verse 3, in the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent his secretary, this person, to the temple of the Lord, and he said, go there to the... Okay, this is not necessarily... I'm going to skip down a little bit more, because I don't want to go to the whole thing. So, they are cleaning out the temple and beautifying it. This is a good thing, right? They're taking care of the building. Now, that's not the best thing you can do, because it's more important to follow God's word, but it was a good thing to care for the building. So, this is what they were doing, and good things were happening there. Then, because they were doing this good thing and cleaning out the building, in verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shiphrah the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book, the book of the law of the Lord. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Then we see the king's reaction. And based on his reaction, God blesses him. Because when the king reacts positively and recognizes the value of the book, and the words in the book, and what God had said in the book, and how he should obey those commands, and how he should lead his people to obey those commands. When he reacted positively, God blessed him. And God said, good job. And that's really what we all want. We want to praise our Heavenly Father. We've been talking about that already today. One of the ways we do that is to read his book. And to follow the commands written in there. And to share about those good things with those who don't know. That's what I'm asking you to help us do. Send us, help us, so that we can spread the good news further and further. We don't want to only help 70 pastors. We want to help 80, 90, 100 pastors be full-time out there. And it doesn't cost that much. We need help to do that. When we first started this, we weren't even helping one pastor. But then people started hearing about the opportunity to help, and they helped. And then we were able to help 10, and then help 20, etc. And now we're at 70, praise the Lord. So the word of God is going out, but it needs to go out much farther than it currently is going. Verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, this is his reaction, he tore his robes. That's an indication of, like, serious. I mean, if I just, like, that would be passionate, even as, I don't know your name, but as he prayed passionately about his desire to worship God. We should be passionate about this, not just sit here, you know, but be passionate in our responses. The king was passionate. He heard the words of the book of the law, and he didn't go, oh, that's interesting, that's interesting, yeah, that's a good idea. No, he tore his robes, a symbol of passionate, humility. Oh, I've been doing wrong. We've been doing wrong. We will commit to do right. Verse 12, he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan. Why do they have to have such hard names? I don't know. Verse 13, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. So as he read the words of the book, he realized what was said in there was not the way he and his people were acting. He and his people were doing this, but the book said to do this. And he realized that that's why things were not going very well for he and his country. Because it was in agreement with God's promises that if they did what he said, they would be blessed. And if they failed to do what he said, then there would be consequences. And they were in the middle of those consequences. They were experiencing those consequences. Their enemies were coming in and attacking. Their country was weak, etc. This goes on and on to say the action words that Josiah did. When not just tearing his robes, but then he went on to actively fix the mistakes that he and his nation were making. They were worshiping these gods, so then they tore those out and threw them away and burned them, etc., etc., etc. He did so many action words. That is what God likes. He likes us not just to hear, not just to believe, but to take action. Use the verbs. Do the things that he says we should do. And in that way, then he gets to enjoy blessing us because he loves. It's just like us with our children. When they do good things, we like to bless them. When they don't, we're like, you know, you need to not do that. And here's the reason and here's the consequences because you're choosing that bad path. So our Heavenly Father loves to bless us. Okay, I'm going to introduce the film that we made. Every year we make a 10-minute, a new one, a presentation to kind of summarize what the ministry is about for that year. And in this film, if it works, hopefully technology, they got it fixed. If it works, then it's going to be from the viewpoint of two of our orphan children. Not all the children in the kids' home are orphans, but these two that we're interviewing for this presentation are, and it says, it's a true story of two orphans living at the kids' home, Naveen and Praveen. They're 22 years old now. When they came into the kids' home, they were 5 years old. So they lived, they came out of Hinduism. They were idol worshippers along with their relatives. And then they got to know Jesus. And Jesus has made a dramatic impact on their life. And then we've been able to care for them with clothing, with food, with good education. Now they're in their final years of their university training. And one is going to be a physical therapist, and the other one's going to be a teacher. And praise God, they have just had transformed lives. But the first and most important thing is their spiritual condition. It's rock solid for Christ. And that is what has been such a joy working at the kids' home, is bringing destitute children out of their terrible situations, feed and clothe and all that, but daily through the course of their time living at the kids' home, introducing Jesus Christ and seeing them accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and them being passionate and wanting to share that transformation that's happened with their families and their community. And one of the strategies we do is we have so many people that want help, so many children, so many different people are saying, please help this child, please help this child. And we have to select because of, again, help us provide some more money so we can help more children. But we're always limited by funds for helping the many, many needy people. But what we've been doing is selecting people from children from different villages so that as they grow in the Lord and come to Christ, then when they go to their villages later, they will be a very positive influence and share the good news with the people from those villages. So is it working? Yeah? Cool. All right, let's start.
My name is Praveen. My brother and I are 22 years old and are from a small village near Vizag called Mangalpalam. We were born just a few minutes apart and were brought up in a Hindu family with all the Hindu traditions of following and worshipping idols. Our parents died when we were very small, and we don't even remember what they looked like. For a while, our grandparents took care of us, but it was very hard on them.
My name is
Naveen. My twin brother, 5 years small.
One day when we were in kindergarten, our teacher told Jesse about us, and he was filled with compassion and offered to let us live at the kids' home. After coming, our lives have changed because we can see the of the living God. Also, we were given good food, clothing and care, and were able to study in better schools than we could have in the village.
I feel very happy at this children's home. The people have given me everything I need with such love and care. I want to let them know how much I appreciate them by doing my very best. All this has happened in my life because of Jesus Christ. When I was a small boy and worshipped the Hindu idols with my family, I never felt this kind of love and happiness, and those Hindu gods never inspired me. Only after coming to this children's home have I found Jesus Christ, the only true God.
When I was in 7th grade, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Now I live a very happy life and I have no complaints. I do have one fear. It is English fear. I'm not good at English and it is a big challenge for me to learn it. One time, when I was taking my college entrance exams, I was really afraid that I might fail the English exam and not be able to go to college. I told Jesse about my fear and he told me to trust God and be bold. Then, his whole family along with all the children at kids' home prayed for me and praise God, I passed all my exams, even my English exam. I can never forget what Jesus has done for me.
Our day starts at 5 a.m. Now that my brother and I are grown-ups, we help lead the morning time of prayer and worship. After that, we help all the small children get ready to go to school. Then we go to our universities. In the evening, we often help the children with their studies and homework, as well as do our own homework. We feel good and happy about doing this.
I feel very good in this children's home. Now I'm going to the university and studying to be a teacher. Lord willing, in one more year, I will graduate with bachelor's in education. After finishing my studies, when I get a job, I want to help other needy children who need to be rescued. I will show them the same Christ-like love that was shown to me.
I am at the university and I'm studying to be a physical therapist. In my courses, I also learn about various medicines, and this is helping me to take care of the children at the kids' home. And I have enjoyed working with the teams that come to do medical camps. I take the blood pressure of each patient and also help with taking blood samples. This home is very small, but God has answered our prayers for a larger place, and I am very happy and excited. Since the new home will be much bigger and it's outside the city with no sound pollution, also it has a lot of free space to play outdoor games. The bigger home comes with bigger challenges, but I feel we are ready for them. We keep getting many requests to take in needy children into our home, but sadly we have to refuse them because we don't have room in the small building. But in the new kids' home, we'll be able to help many more children.
Even though the new children's home is surrounded by various Hindu villages, we feel like it's the right place to have our new kids' home. Having these Hindus all around us will give us so many opportunities to show God's love and to share the good news to them. By doing so, one day we will transform those villages and win them for our Lord. Jesse and Sunita and Steve and Brenda are doing a great job by helping the poor and needy children like us. Besides their help at the kids' home, they also serve the Lord here in India in many other ways. They help widows, pastors, build churches, dig wells, and they help lepers and those with HIV. They are doing this because Jesus Christ is in them. It is their passion to help and serve the poor and needy. My brother and I help them with all this work. We help many widows because God's word says we need to take care of them. These widows come from different villages and from the slums of our city. They are so poor. We give them monthly support and also provide some food and clothing for them.
Once a month, we have a pastor's meeting. When they come, they pray for one another and receive their monthly support. These pastors do a great work in spreading the gospel in various villages.
Some of the pastors' children live in this home. We also help pastors with special needs such as medical care or repairs of their churches.
In this ministry, we also provide community wells. Many villages don't have safe drinking water, and they have to go to nearby stagnant ponds and polluted streams. Drinking this water is not safe, and many of them get sick with waterborne diseases and infections. By providing clean water wells, we are showing God's love and sharing the good news to the Hindu villagers. The teams that Steve and Brenda bring to Vizag are doing extremely good work. They help us host medical camps, where hundreds of patients receive exams, medicine, prayer, love, and care. These teams also distribute clothing to poor and needy widows. They also help us in construction of churches and our new children's home by taking active part in the construction work. They teach Bible stories and Bible songs to the children, and they take children for outings such as picnics and swimming. We love having teams from America. Steve uncle and Brenda auntie help all of us a lot at this home. Ever since they have come into our lives have changed. Today we are all doing well because of their help. They love us so much. They also do fun stuff with us, like take us to KFC and to their home for games and ice cream. We love going places with them. And at the kids' home, Brenda auntie helps all the children with their spoken English. They have inspired us a lot, motivated us a lot, and they have helped us to be transformed into kingdom citizens.
This home means a lot to me. Jesse and Sunita, Steve and Brenda have showed me what love is and what it means to have hope in Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I think about it, it really amazes and surprises me to think that an orphan child like myself can grow to this stage. Even though I lost my parents, Jesus gave me spiritual parents in this home. It is all because of His amazing grace.
We would like to sincerely thank all the sponsors who have been such great supporters of all of us. We praise God and thank God for you all.
We pray that our Lord will bless you and your families with good health and happiness.
Okay, So as Praveen and Naveen said, it is all because of His grace that God has blessed them with all these good things. As you see, I'm bringing my beautiful wife up, Brenda, and she is the star at the kids' home, by the way. I come into the kids' home and I say, "Hi, Steve Uncle, where's Brenda Auntie?" Because she really is a wonderful help to the children, and they love her so much. So I'm going to have her share a little bit about the children's home, what she does.
As you can see, the two boys are a great testimony for many people. And that's just a couple examples of the kids that we work with. Like we mentioned earlier, Steve mentioned earlier, and the children that come there, most of them are from Hindu backgrounds. Most of them have never heard of Jesus. Jesse has a lot of contacts, and a lot of these pastors we work with know they work in the remote villages, and so there's always so many needs, and basically it's a word of mouth, and the pastor finds a family that really is in destitute situation and needs help, can't feed their children. They're not all orphans. They don't all have these two boys don't have parents, but a lot of the children do. But they often have like a mother that the father has either abandoned the family or died, or a mother has died. But they live with their relatives. But basically, by the time they get to be 5 years old, the parent needs to go out and work in the field in order to survive and can't take care of the child. They can't afford school, so they really need help to be able to feed and take care of their children. Our goal is to help them physically, but even more important spiritually. And so there's a strategic plan that Jesse has implemented as his father and he have been doing this for over 30 years, 35 years. And they will choose children from the different villages, trying to choose maybe one child out of one village here and another child out of another village here, rather than helping a certain group of people. Because what happens when these children come to the home, they learn about Jesus right away. It's a very godly Christian environment. When some of you knew us from Russia, in Russia, the orphanage place ministries we had their government orphanages, and there was no ability to do hardly any Christian influence to those children. It was a government-run thing. This is completely private, and yes, there's some regulations, but basically they have total freedom. They can be completely Christian. The family members have accepted this. That's, they're allowing them to be in there because of the need for help. But anyway, so the children come there, and they spend a year, and they learn about Jesus. And one of the blessings for me every year as we're there is there's always some new kids, there's some changeover every year. And then there's also some kids that have been there for maybe a year. But the new kids that come in there, as we go through the year, impacts me that when, Christmas comes along, and I'm sharing, and others there are sharing the Christmas story with the kids. They've never heard of that. And then when Easter comes along, they've never heard of Jesus dying. I mean, they started to hear about it in general, but the stories are new to them. Never heard of this God, the Jesus God, they'll say. And so, as I said, once they're there for a year, maybe two, and they become strong little missionaries. They're godly little kids, and they go home for holidays and summer vacation to their villages, most of them, and they just teach and preach to their family and sing the Christian songs and quote the scripture and it's pray for their family members. And it's just amazing to see, as we've been there now 8 years, to see these families now, their family, this one, we met them 8 years ago when they were pretty little, and now we say, "Is your family Christian?" Now they are, and so it's just amazing. It's just a joy to be a part of that. And so as we mentioned about the kids' home, you see the new building. It's basically, it's much further than that, actually. The outside is basically complete. The inside is being finished with the doors and all that and painting. And the goal is to be able to move in August, because school is starting in June, but they're busing them right now to the new schools so that once the new building is finished. And so we are in the middle of getting new sponsors, because we're going from around 55 kids that we've had, and this next year we will have about 100, or maybe a little over 100 kids. The building itself is 12,000 square feet, which is six times bigger than the one we had, which was 2,000 square feet. And we are going to take 100 this year, just to kind of a step up, and then we'll be able to take 150 or even 200 kids in that home. the kids. So we're looking for more sponsors. And if you are interested in sponsorship, it's $35 a month, just so you know, because a lot of people ask us. And if you are, after we're finished here, the two sign-up sheets will be out on the table, and you can just put a star by your name if you're interested in knowing more information about that, just so that you can know and get information about the children if you're interested.
Yeah, so on that table will be some display and the sign-up sheets and whatnot. So we do hope some of you take interest in sponsoring a child on a monthly basis. It's a great way to make a huge impact, a life-changing impact on one child. All these children, they come out of Hindu homes and they come to Christ, and it's incredible to watch them grow, as you've seen Naveen and Praveen. It's just wonderful to see year after year them growing stronger in their faith, and we know they're going to make a big impact on their communities and the people that they touch in the coming years, because they really, truly are solid believers. And they personally have seen Christ change their life, and they want to tell about that. That's what we've seen over and over, not just with the children, but those that hear the good news. That's why we're putting so much emphasis on spreading the good news and helping others to have the opportunity. Like these 70 pastors, they are our right-hand people. And you know, last year it was 60, the year before 50, but we want it to be 80, 90, 100. So we hope that some of you catch that vision and see that as we help these young men to be full-time evangelists and pastors, thousands of people are hearing the good news. So just like Romans 10 tells us that someone needs to go. And we are going, and we are there, and we are working all the time. But we can multiply ourselves more by helping the nationals have the opportunity to be full-time. And each one of these young men, it's pretty amazing to listen to their testimonies, because they came out of terrible situations. I mean, they were idol worshippers. Some of them beat their wives, or were witch doctors, or all kinds of things, drunks. And they came to Christ. God made a massive change in their life, and they want to tell everybody about their God. And so it's wonderful. I love one of my favorite days of each month is when we gather those pastors back, and we get to share some about something from the Word of God and encouragement. But then we get to listen to their reports of what's happened in this past month. And it's exciting to hear how many people come to the Lord, how many people are seeing God work in their lives as they share, and some of the hardships that they're facing as they're persecuted against, because it is, if you can imagine, only 2% of the population is Christian. So when 98% of the population believes differently than you, there's a lot of opposition, and they really struggle, and they're in very difficult places. But they're doing great work, and it's wonderful to be part of that. So, okay, so we mentioned some other ministries that are going on. The water wells, we mentioned that. We didn't talk about the widows yet. What about the widows?
Let me tell about the wells, because we didn't okay. go. One of the things I like to share about the wells is that, he's mentioning the pastors, most of the wells we do are put in at a church, one of these pastors or another pastor's church, which is out in a remote village, a small little church, but there's a building. And if they don't have a building, we'll put it in front of a pastor's home. But it's at their Christian place, and it is allowed for the Hindus. Everybody in the village can use it. And the reason they need wells a lot of times is because there's a well at a Hindu temple, or maybe there isn't one nearby. But if there is one, it may be at a Hindu temple, and the Christians will not be allowed to use it because they're going to contaminate and cause a curse probably upon the people. So they won't be able to use it. So the Christians are needy for a well. And so we put in a well, and it's right there, and they're shared with all the Hindus. There's usually maybe 50 Christians and in the village, for example, and 200, 300 non-Christian or Hindus, and they are able to use it also. And so they come and they learn about this. They're amazed at the water being very good. Usually God provides extra good water for these wells. It's amazing. And they're praising the Jesus God. They don't know about this God, but the pastor now has an opening to share the gospel, because our God, their God, the pastor says, our God has provided this, and he's the true God, and he can, it's just an amazing, it elevates the pastor, it gives him a tool to share the gospel, and the people are kind of blown away with this, the fact that this Jesus God provided such a good well for them. So it's an amazing opportunity for the pastor and the Christians in that village. So we're just so grateful that the wells are individual gifts by churches or families. It's $1,300 for a well. And so we just put those in as many as given for those. So it's been, we don't really try to advertise. It's just everybody keeps wanting to do that because it's an amazing testimony, tool, and need for the people.
So this last year, 33 different groups of people, whether it was individual families or churches, donated $1,300 for each of those wells, and we were able to help thousands more people this past year. Every year, we've been able to help thousands and thousands and thousands, 46,000 people. That's phenomenal to us. We never even thought that well ministry would be something we'd be involved in. We had no knowledge of it or experience with it, but come to find out, it's a fantastic way of helping people with the most important thing, I mean, a physical, material need, as well as Brenda said, the gospel gets explained, and the people are praising our Heavenly Father. Even today, as we were singing, or as we were praying, or as we're reading a scripture, we are praising our Heavenly Father. But it's wonderful also to see thousands and thousands of people there from that one particular ministry praising the name of God. Christians and even Hindus calling out and praising this God and trying to learn more about who he is. So it's a great ministry. Please help us with that if you can. So what about the widows?
You know, I always wondered about the scripture that talked about taking care of widows and orphans. Orphans make sense, but to me, I never understood widows. I thought the family takes care of them, church people take care of them. But in India, it became so evident what the situation is there. It's a horrible situation because of the Hindu religion and the caste system, mostly Hindu religion. The Hindu religion basically says if the man dies, the woman has no right to live. And so in the past, and even sometimes still probably, the woman would kill herself. If she was a devout Hindu, she would kill herself when her husband died. Now they're just outcasts. They are completely outcast in society. They aren't allowed to attend functions, even family functions. They aren't taken care of well. They may be able to live with their daughter or son, but they're not taken care of well. If they're sick, they have to go outside and stay outside of the house because it's a bad omen for them to be in the house if they're sick. A lot of times if a widow, if people know, if they're Christian, especially they're walking around and a Hindu comes out of their home, they'll turn around and go back to avoid being around the Hindu or the widow. So they are not accepted, and they are. You saw a lot of women here carrying things, or you know, hunched over. Those are they're often not as old as they look, but their husband dies. They have a few more years of life left, and they cannot carry those water. And that's the woman's job, is to carry things, and so they can't. So they have no way to get food. So they look for anybody that'll help them. And most of these widows we are helping have come from a Hindu background, are searching for help, come to a church and or a Christian, and they ask for help, they get help, and then the Christian is able to share the gospel, and they're baby Christians. They don't know, most of them can't read, they don't know anything, but they know about the true God, and they're following him now in the last years of their life. And so we're able to just help a little bit each month. And then also when teams come, we provide them with like a sari clothing or extra food and different medical care they also get whenever they need it. But so we're just kind of able to help sustain them and give them spiritual help, and they come and meet each month at the at our ministry there and get some good sharing and fellowship time with the Indian Christians too.
The widows, I've listened, I've collected a lot of stories. I've asked them to tell their stories, and I've had it written down, and I've read, and I've been just amazed at, if I was just to sit with you and just to have you tell your story of your life, and it would be interesting, I know, but that's what I do with the widows, is I gather the information, and then I'm just praising God because I can see how God has taken them from such heartache and to a place where they have hope, and now they're praying night and day, thanking God, and just trusting in Him. And they have a smile on their face, and their life is still really, really tough. But God has given them hope, and that has changed their whole perspective on life. And from a hopeless situation to one where there is hope. And they have a hope for eternity. And so even though maybe they won't have many more years in this life, and they still may be difficult years, they can focus now on what's coming, and they are full of hope. So anyway, it's been a joy to help widows. We didn't think we would help widows. We came again to just to work in the children's home. And then all these ideas of helping in these different ways, our partners, Jesse and Sunita, who we showed on the film a number of times, they're our Indian partners, they would approach us and say, hey, there's these 10 widows, and they'd explain their situation. They have nothing. Could we help them, you know? And we're like, we don't have any money, but maybe we can dig and find a little bit. And so we helped 10 widows, then we helped 20, and we're up to 380 widows. Please help us, please. There's many more widows that we want to help. There's many widows that we can't help. Many of the same type of situation where we could help them and bring more hope, but there's always limitation. That's why we go week after week and share to and give reports and hope that other people will join in and say, this is a worthy thing, we can help. So anyway, what else? We also do medical camps. And you saw some white people there, some foreigners also mixed in. They were team members that came. And so you're all welcome to come. And not only to come on a short term, by the way, you're also welcome to come and help us long term. We need more help. As you see, this ministry is just mushrooming bigger and bigger. We need more people. So if you can't come, pray that somebody can come. But if you can come, talk to us. It's possible. It's a completely life-changing experience. It will be a night and day different life than you currently are living. But it will be a great life. We love our life. We've been doing this 20 years, and we have no interest in ever quitting. We don't look forward to retirement at all. We have no thought of retirement. This is fulfilling and satisfying. We are seeing people reached for his salvation. People are coming to know the Lord. The poor are being helped. So it's a great joy. So come on a team. Come full time. If you can't come, just help us, pray for us, send something, help us. So any questions and answers? We usually just a couple minutes, maybe you have I'll tell you a common question. How deep is the well? I'm just going to answer that one right now. It's 100 to 150 feet. I really get that question a lot. And also on the wells, each well is helping about 250 people. So if we were to dig a well in your house now, it would be like, what, $5,000 or $10,000? And it would help your family of four. But when we go there for $1,300, we can help 250 people. And instead of getting bacteria because of open water or all kinds of diseases from bacteria, now you have a closed source that is much cleaner, much better. So, anyway, questions? Any questions?
Yeah, we are on the east coast of India. And they say it's southern India. It's about halfway down between Calcutta and Chennai. Everybody knows those two cities. So it's halfway down. It's a really long name, Vishakhapatnam. It's the longest V name on the East Coast. Really long, like 16
about 3
letters.
3 million people. But within, we say, okay, so there's 1.25 billion people. But what we call our area, if anybody wants to hear anything or help, receive any help or whatever, if they're outside of 3 hours from our doorstep,
which is about 100 miles drive.
Yeah, that's about 100 miles. So there's the ocean on one side, so there's a half a semicircle of land. Kind of imagine the Los Angeles basin. If you live down there and you were able to go 3 hours around a point there, there's about 15 million people there in LA in that region. It's the same in our area. There's 15 million people within 3 hours from our house. And 80% of them are living impoverished in these little remote villages. So that's the main place for helping the needy. Good question. Another question.
Uh,
Everybody just looks down at their shoes. Come on. Yes.
Yes, we do. We have two daughters. In fact, that's a good segue for us. We have a prayer card that's out there at the table also. It has a magnet on it. There's some without. If you don't have a fridge, it takes a magnet. And it has a picture of us and both of our daughters and their husbands. Our two daughters are 22 and 24 now, and they are both married. Our oldest just got married in April, and our youngest got married last May. And they were with us in Russia, and then they were with us in India for a few years, and then they came to college here. Our younger one just graduated from Simpson last year, and she married an MK who's Canadian that grew up in Mexico City, and they now are back in Canada for now before they get some more grad work before he wants to do missions also. They want to do missions. And then our older daughter, Rachel, is living in Redding, basically. I mean, she was living here, and then she got married, and now she and her husband are up in Alaska at a fish factory for the summer. And then they're actually planning to come to India for the next year with us after they get back, so we're excited about that to help us with the kids. She's extremely gifted with children, teaching small children. So, yeah, no grandchildren yet, but we can wait.
Oh, two questions. You guys are good. Should we let him have another question? Because you guys can all ask before he asks the second one. All right.
Visas are an interesting thing for any country, for any missionary. Ours has changed several times, even in India. We originally came in as a tourist visa. It was a 10-year, which is really nice. Some countries don't give 10-year. In Russia, we only had 1 year at a time. This 10-year tourist visa, but then they changed the laws, made it so that you had to stay out every time you went out, you had to stay out for 2 months, so it was kind of hard for us. So we changed to a business visa for 5 years. And then after that, 2 summers ago, we had to get new visas that ran out. And basically what we do when we're in a country is we rely on the advice of our fellow missionaries especially. And we were advised by Southern Baptist friends of ours that had a lot of experience with this, that because of the new government, which is very Hindu, and because of a lot of changes with the different laws, tax laws and things, that it's better for you to stay on tourist visa. We actually don't have we're not out there doing public meetings or, anything baptisms or anything like that. We leave that up to our Indian counterparts. So we are in on a 10-year tourist visa. That doesn't mean we get to stay in, doesn't mean that they won't change the law, doesn't mean that they won't kick us out, but we do a lot of humanitarian type help, so we're trusting God to let us continue on. And of course mostly the Indians get to do the evangelism, because we don't speak most of the 2,000 languages they have in India. But we're there to support them. So
that's a very, very good thing to be thinking about. Okay, I'm inviting you to come and help and everything, but it's also kind of a secretive thing. You can't just approach the Indian government and say, hey, I want to come into your country and be a missionary, and my number one goal is to proselytize Hindus and to convert them out of Hinduism to Christianity. Do you think they're going to let you in their country? They're going to say, crazy person, we're a Hindu country. Well, we'd like to be a Hindu country. We don't like Christianity. Please go home. No, you may not have a visa into this country. That is the fact. This is a Hindu country. This is a Hindu government. They have no interest. They are, in fact, trying to work out laws so that nationally it is illegal to proselytize. Nationally, it's not yet illegal, but in 22 of the 29 states, it's illegal to proselytize in India. But proselytizing, that means trying to convert someone from Hindu to Christianity, that is my number one goal in life. But I don't say that openly out loud in India. That's quietly behind closed doors. Anyway, so for example, on our Facebook page, if you become friends with me on Facebook, you will not see me say a single religious word on Facebook. Because we are advised, that's really stupid. If you say anything religious, the government will look at your Facebook page, go, oh, you're not here as a tourist, you're a religious person. Go back.
I say Christian things. I'm not. I say Christian things. I don't talk about India as us being missionaries.
I just talk about my paragliding on my Facebook page. So, whereas our emails, of course, they could be hacked, but that's where we can say specific things. That's why we're hoping that you sign up so that we can communicate. But this social networking is changing things, and less people are interested in email, and more people are interested in Facebook or Twitter and all that. But we can't use those things to tell you what's going on, because it's just shooting ourselves in the foot, because we'll be kicked out. So it's what they call a sensitive country, okay? So, yes, we're missionaries, but officially, if you go there, you're not officially a missionary. You're a tourist. I'm going to show you a lot of interesting things.
It's true. There is a lot of interesting things there. I'd like to just remind you to get our prayer card, because that's really important for us to know that you're praying for us, and a reminder for you to take that and just if you glance at us on the picture, to pray for us, because that's the most important thing you can do.
So as we talked in the scriptures, the people before Josiah, they lost the word of God. It's like what's happening in India now. They do not know about Jesus. We need to send more people. It's a massive country of need. First of all, the need for salvation. Secondly, 80% of the population is making $3 a day or less. If you can imagine yourself making $3 a day and trying to provide for your family, try to use your imagination. I know when we're young, we use our imaginations. When we get old, we forget to use our imagination. But use your imagination right now and try to imagine $3. Yay, I worked 10 hours today, and I'm bringing home to you, family, $3. See what your wife's going to say about that.
And it doesn't go any further there. People think, oh, it's cheaper there. Well, not really. You're going to live the same there as you do here with $3 a day.
The one good thing about economic disaster or economic poverty is people's eyes are turned up and they're saying, isn't there somebody out there that could help me? Are there any gods out there? And when you come and share about a God who loves them, that's why it's a very fruitful place. If the whole economy turned fantastic and everybody was rich, it would be like trying to be a missionary in America. It's very difficult because people are going, I don't need your ideas, your whatever. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Here, you have to go to the prisons and the hospitals and the places where people are in need. There, everybody's in need, almost. 80% is close to everybody, right? 20% of the population, you don't worry about them. They're fine. They think they're fine, right? They're not interested. But 80% of the population is hungry to hear about our God. So pray for us and come and help us. Okay, we'll go ahead and close with that. And are you somebody's final? Thank you.